Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today as we continue along in the Gospels. Again, we're in Luke chapter 13, where we're at the last few days. Yesterday, we were talking about this woman who had been bent over for some 18 years and how she came to Jesus on the Sabbath day. And of course, what would you think Jesus would do? Well, he healed on the Sabbath day. And of course, that ruffled the feathers of the Pharisees and those skeptics that were in the crowd. And so they challenged Jesus. And then we left off after they challenged Jesus. He spoke about the parable of the mustard seed, which they grew this very enormous, abnormal growth. And it tells us that how these birds landed in the branches. And of course, the birds are representing evil normally, as you find in scriptures, not in every instance, but normally you find them, especially in parables, that's what they represent. And certainly the abnormal growth, the best that we could tell is, as he was talking about the kingdom of God, how the church experienced tremendous growth. And it's like it on the day the mega churches. And after a while, you lose track of everybody who's part of the fellowship and ministry. And within that, you get people who settle in for the wrong reasons. And a lot of times it's just to have a comfortable position where they're making money and, you know, doing whatever, and you don't know why they're there. But as he continues on with this same thought in verse number 20, where we start today, and he said, "To what shall I liken it unto the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leaven." And of course, the leaven is that little bit that you put into the bread to help it rise. And we know that the leaven, it really speaks of the poison. Once you allow it to come into a ministry and within the church, how it has a way to permeate throughout the whole bread and make it to rise. It does the same thing within the church. And he went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying through Jerusalem. Then one said to him, "Lord, are there few or who are saved?" That's a good question, isn't it? As he was teaching and as he was journeying towards Jerusalem, and he's in some village, we don't know the name of it, but he simply asked this guy, "Is there a lot of people that are saved or just a few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and will not be able." And this word "strive" in the original language, in this case the Greek, is a word that literally means to agonize. To agonize to enter into the gate. He says, "From whence the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, say, 'Lord, Lord, open for us.' And he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you or where you're from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from?'" So here it is. It speaks of a relationship. He says, "I don't know you." It's not that, you know, he's not hearing their voices. As what they're saying, but he doesn't know them in a sense where they have a relationship. And so he goes on again, verse 27, he says, "But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourself thrust out." Oh, so sad. He says, "You're on the outside looking in." That's never a good place to be, is it? We want to be in the center of fellowship, in the center of God's will. But yet here they are on the outside, you know, not being able to enter in. Because why? The door's already closed. They had an opportunity to enter into the gate. They would have to agonize. They would have to struggle. They would have to persevere through, you know, difficulties, but not deny the faith. The faith is the key to open that door. And so they said that there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, guess what? You yourself is thrust out. You'll be on the outside. That's why I think it's so important that we as believers, that we seek first the kingdom of God each and every day, that we seek the Lord, and that we busy ourselves praying for our friends, our relatives, the seriousness of the Word of God. I got word today that my mom turned 100 years old if she was still alive. Isn't that amazing? And one of the things that she used to do, she used to make a family fudge. She had her own recipe that she made probably since she'd been a child. And every part of the family, everybody would get the copy of the recipe. And of course, we would try to make it like the way Mom made it. And it never quite turned out the right way in our memory. And we would, as kids, we would fight who got to scrape the bottom of the pan and eat all the chocolate. And you think of all the good memories that you have. And I came from a family of seven of us. And I think of all my relatives and all my relationship, both on my side of the family and those from my wife's side. And I love them all. They're great people. But I also wonder if there's any of them that will be looking from the outside, looking in. We need to be praying for our family. I need to be praying. You need to be praying for your neighbors and your coworkers that they might know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because when the time comes, either through the rapture of the church or by some event that leads us to the place where we die, our time of getting right with God will then be over, won't it? Because now is the day of salvation. Now is the time that we need to be about the kingdom of God, not tomorrow, but now. And so Jesus, he goes on and he's talking to these people, or this man of this house as he's talking. He says, and they will come from the east and from the west, from the north and the south, and sit down at the kingdom of God. Otherwise, the answer is question, will there be few or many that are saved? He says, they're going to come from all over the world, all kinds of walk of life. It's amazing. I've had a few opportunities to travel in different parts of the world. And it's so exciting when you see somebody's eyes that are lit up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, I can see the Holy Ghost on them. Well, that might be true, but there's a sparkle in their eyes. And I was in this one particular country and I met this person, and my goodness, it's like they know that. I go, man, they know the same Jesus I know. Well, of course they do. He's every place. And the gospel is spread around the world, and there will be people who respond to the gospel from all over the place. And indeed, they are last who will be first, and the first will be last. Otherwise, those who rush and think that they're going to get there are going to be the ones that will be last. Those who think they're pretty special, you know, here on earth, that they are better than other people, when it comes to the kingdom of God, they are last. You know, the ones that will be first is probably people that we never, ever hear about. They're just faithful to Jesus Christ. I think of the opportunities God has given me, you know, where I get to teach every week, proclaim the gospels, doing things like we're doing right now, podcasts. I go, you know, I'm nobody special. But I know that there's people that are very, very special who are praying for this ministry. They're praying for the work of God around the world. And Jesus says, you know what, Terry, they're going to be first, rightfully so. Because the prayers of the saints are the things that are so precious to the Lord. And just simply being faithful for what God has given me to do, what's given you to do this day. And so he says, on that very day, some Pharisees came saying unto him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Wow, what a thing. Remember Herod, he's still around. Herod, who killed John the Baptist, and he says he still wants to kill you. And I just think it's interesting how when you don't understand the light and you don't come to the light in the gospel of Jesus Christ, People want to distinguish, I mean, to wipe it out, to get rid of it. May God help us to be bold enough to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the light of Jesus Christ. And there will be some who don't like it, don't want us around, but that shouldn't stop us to love people, to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, and we'll wrap up here, go tell that fox, speaking of Herod, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. On the third day, I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that the prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. And so we're going to pick up this story, maybe with a little better understanding of this tomorrow as we gather together, as we continue to go along in the Gospels, and this time in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. So may God richly bless you. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.